Las Vegas is a city of excess and overindulgence. Hey, that's what we do. And our appetite for sweets and desserts is also outsized. The Bellagio, for instance, has the world's largest chocolate fountain. You can't swing a rolling pin anywhere without hitting a cupcake shop in some parts of the strip, to say nothing of the bakers standing at the ready, willing to whip up a confection for your bachelorette party or wedding, or the shot glasses filled with chocolate mousse and tiramisu that dot many a buffet. So where can you go for the best sugar high in Las Vegas? And what can the experts teach you that will let you indulge your sweet tooth, dazzle your friends and loved ones? Well, we are going to discuss the three C's, cookies, cakes, chocolates. Joining us is Max Jacobson Fried. He's owner of Fried's Bakery, the third generation of his family to operate that famous Las Vegas institution. Max, welcome to KNPR.
Thanks so much for having me.
Fried's is a Las Vegas mainstay. It's known for wedding and specialty cakes. They're all custom made. What are some of the more unusual design requests you've received?
I guess some of the more unusual ones tend to be the... inappropriately, bachelor and bachelorette parties, but of
bachelor
course we're not
going
to go
parties.
Into those. A lot of the milestone birthdays tend to be some of the wackier ones, you know, where they just have these interests that kind of span the gamut. You have, you know, astronauts who love Swiss cheese, or, you know, poker players who are really into certain types of wine, and trying to figure out how to kind of conglomerate that all into a cake design tend to be the most interesting.
So I imagine your staff has just been trained now, so you don't bat an eye when that stuff comes.
Yeah, it takes a lot to kind of make us go, what?
It doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. Not anymore.
Do people know how to make a good cake or dessert, or do we just think that more chocolate and more cream must somehow make things better?
That's probably true. More chocolate, more cream always makes things better. But cake, baking, I guess, is, they say baking's a science, cooking's an art. It is difficult to make a really good cake.
What are the challenges of working with sugar?
With sugar. Well, so we don't do a lot of sugar work, but I would say, you know, the challenge is working with things like baking soda. When you're talking about, you know, 50 pounds of cake flour and then just a few ounces of baking soda, really is the preciseness of measurement is supremely important when it comes to baking.
Okay, but then now the sweet part.
Right, yes, the sweet part.
I mean, how do you work with it? Where does it come from? How do you make it shine?
Yeah, I would say, you know, with sweets and with sugar, I guess the trick is not to go too heavy at times. I mean, I think that, you know, the American diet is used to lots of sugar. And I think that a lot of people think the answer is just put more sugar in. But that's not necessarily the greatest way to make a fantastic dessert.
So when you're tasting sweet things, I mean, how do you judge this? You know, how do you judge if a cake or if some other confection is just really good? You know, how do you evaluate how the sweetness is in relation to everything else in the dessert?
That's a great question. I would say that there has to be a balance of, I mean, I'm a big fan of sweet and savory, just kind of having a little bit of hint. Like if you have a really good chocolate chip cookie, you'll notice that there's just a little bit of hint of salt there. It might come kind of as an aftertaste. And to me, I mean, something as basic as a chocolate chip cookie shouldn't just taste like a big, you know, amalgam of sugar and chocolate. It should really have kind of a gentle balance of different flavor profiles. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, also with us is Jarrett Flynn. Jarrett Flynn is the executive pastry chef for Red Rock Resort. Jarrett, welcome. Great
Thank
to have you here.
Thank you for having me here.
I've just asked Max about challenges unique to a Las Vegas bakery and challenges of kind of gauging the sweet in the midst of everything else in a really good dessert. How do you evaluate the sweetness factor of desserts?
Well, the good thing is we have a lot of outlets and avenues that we can put our desserts in. And our property, and we tend to go more towards the natural flavors, the flavors of freshness of fruits and different things, of balance of farmers market fruits and keeping everything farm fresh. And a lot of people these days don't really go into foods and want it overpoweringly sweet. They want to actually taste the flavor of what you're creating, and you just follow it up with a little sweetness to balance it.
So how do you do that in a way that pleases customers?
Well, I'm not skinny, so therefore I have to try everything. Oh, yeah. So, you know, you definitely, you got to try it. You got to taste it. You got to experiment. You find out, like what we do, we get stuff in from the farmer's market, you know, at least twice a week, if not more, and we see what tastes right, what tastes good. So in our steakhouse, we'll run a cobbler special tonight off of what farmer's market produce comes in good. So if it's peaches that are really sweet where we don't need to add a lot to it, you do. We go with what's in season. If we try to do something with apples or pears right now, we're going to have to add a lot more sugar into it just for the fact of it's not in season. But the peaches, the stone fruit, the farmer's market strawberries right now that are amazing, you know, we don't have to do much to it. We can play on the natural flavor.
Mm. So when you've got home cooks who may be listening to you right now, what, if you're standing over their shoulders watching just a little bit, what would you advise them to do that they might not be doing otherwise?
Taste. Room temperature. Don't always try everything out of your refrigerator. You need to have your fruits out at ambient room temperature because therefore you get their natural flavor. Then you could adjust accordingly if you want it sweeter or anything like that. And right now especially, your stone fruits are starting to come in season, which are your ones that have pits in it, as apricots, plums, peaches, cherries. That's what's really good right now. Mm-hmm. So stick to those instead of the things that you might see come Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Max Jacobson Fried grew up with baking. It's his family business, you know, several generations and such. How did you find your way into the world of cakes and chocolates and confections?
Oddly enough, I didn't start in this way. It was growing up with my grandmother watching Yan Can Cook, you know, in San Francisco. So I knew my path wasn't that of my father being a doctor and went a different direction. And, you know, it just came over time in the Bay Area when I was in the Ritz in San Francisco. And I'd always see our pastry chef that was in competitions and it intrigued me. And so I ended up just getting involved in it. And since that day, I just love how it just continuously evolved in pastry from, you know, in the 80s to now or the 90s to now. It's a completely different world at a pastry standpoint, especially what you can do with cakes and cupcakes or anything.
How, when you say it's a completely different world, what's happened? What's changed the world of pastries?
It's evolved. It's gotten to where it's more realistic. You could see it on TV. I mean, everybody's a lot more educated. You go into any store now. I mean, you name it, it's got a million supplies to do pastry stuff. Not so much as the savory, because it's your standard. Not too much has changed. There's a few things that change, but in pastry, there's different molds, there's different shapes, different cutters, different fondants, different, you name it. You can almost imagine it and do it now, where in the past it was all about sheet cakes and bolt cake and not much. Where now, you know, like with Fried's, they get a picture and it's create a picture and you have to go up to here. It's like what we get. Here's a picture. I was thinking this, superhero. So you do a million different tiers on it of different, it's allowed us to play a lot more of what we can and cannot do.
Hmm. Are you one of those cooks who needs the precision of baking? You know, it's where Max was talking a little bit a while back about working with baking soda, for instance, where you've got to measure everything really, really, really carefully. Is that something, is that kind of where your world is, or is it a little more intuitive where you know it's going to work well, you know what things will balance?
You know, nothing ever works the way you think it's going to work. You always have to do test runs. It's still pastry, no matter what you're doing in pastry, from chocolates to cakes to cookies to cupcakes to cobblers to individual desserts, you have to taste everything. It's a science. It starts at a foundation. It might look like a cupcake to you, but it's got seven different recipes inside that one cupcake. You know, so it's definitely a science thing. It's a balance thing. It's trying.
Is it chemistry ultimately? I mean, applied chemistry.
I'll tell you what. If something comes out of the oven differently, and you can look at the top of it, and you can tell exactly if it was too much sugar, if it had enough leavening, if it didn't, and then you take it back, and then you have to basically go back to that same recipe, find out where the mistake is, go calculate it, percentage it, fire it back off, and you're there. You know, it's literally like that. It's not like a sauce where it's add more salt, add more pepper. This, you have to pull it back. If it's scrapped, it's scrapped. Then you have to go and remake it again, and then. Once you have that final recipe, it's set in stone and everybody has to follow that one so you don't continuously have that mistake.
Yeah. Max?
Oh, and I mean, for us, you also even have to account for things like ambient temperature or the season. We just find that when we go from like cold to hot outside when it's going into the summer, we have to start messing with our oven times just because every little thing makes a huge difference.
So the same recipe, the recipe in December is different from the recipe in July.
Yeah, the recipe itself we try and stick to, but it's really like those times, the mixing times, how much air is getting introduced into the batter, how long you're putting it into the oven. All those things change when you start talking about different seasons.
So in other words, I could have been perhaps a better amateur cook if I had paid more attention in science classes.
That's exactly it.
Wow. We're talking about the rich dessert scene in Las Vegas. And we want you to be a part of this conversation too. What's your go-to spot for a sugar high? Are you kind of annoyed by the long-running cupcake trend? Or is anything covered in buttercream okay in your book? What do you like for dessert at the end of a really good meal? Join our conversation at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552, or visit our website at knprnews.org. We're also on Twitter. You can tweet us anytime at knprnews. Now, I want to turn now to a man who specializes in chocolate. Zenon Mallari is the chocolatier at Happy Endings. Zenon Mallari, welcome to KNPR.
It's great to be here.
You're not quite working at the volume of Max or Jared, at least not yet. But how did you get started with the boutique chocolate business?
I started at home. Just saw something on TV. You know, like everyone else, I guess. Now everything's on TV, Food Network, you have all these things, and I tried it at home, and I failed miserably. And just from there, I got obsessed with it. And like they were saying, it's a science, and I wanted to know everything about the science. I wanted to know what all these ingredients are, what all these additives are, and all these things. And I would go to my, you know, where I buy my ingredients, and I would bug them and say, what does this do? What does that do? You know, and all the troubleshooting, and that's how I learned.
Okay, but what is it about chocolate that grabbed you by the lapels and never let go?
I think it's the satisfaction that other people get from it. Because I would experiment and just bring things to my friends and family. And the feedback that I would get from them, that's what just kind of drove my passion and wanting to work with more exotic flavors, new flavors, and just perfecting my craft.
For something like this, in the wine industry, there are people who are known as super tasters.
Right.
Just really, really advanced and highly developed taste buds. Do you have to have that kind of natural-born biology to be a good chocolatier?
I don't think you do. No, I don't think you do. I think you need to be open-minded and experiment with different flavors. And you get your feedback from your customers, and just work with everything, because everybody has a different palate, you know. One thing's not going to just work for everybody, so you try to have as many, you know, flavors and things like that as possible.
Yeah. In your experience, tell us something about chocolate, working with chocolate, that we might not figure out otherwise.
It's pretty difficult to melt chocolate and bring it back to room temperature for it and to have it look good and be edible. A lot of people think that they could just melt chocolate and put it in a mold and it'll pop out, but it's a lot more difficult than that.
For now, at least, you work out of your home kitchen.
Yeah.
How did you set up shop as a chocolatier? I mean, what kind of equipment and ingredients did you have to?
My retail partner is Sunrise Coffee over out in Henderson, and we actually kind of started our companies at the same time, and I would work out of their kitchen and things like that. And that's just kind of where it got started. It was just kind of we started at the same time, and we just kind of pushed each other to see how far we could take things, you know.
Yeah. You said you work with some unique ingredients, unusual, interesting flavors. Talk about some of the wildest things you've incorporated into your chocolate.
Nothing really wild, I would say, but I get a lot of inspiration from savory things, like Max was saying. I like to put a little savory in my sweet, salt, you know, infused salts, smoked salts, habaneros.
Yeah, the trend of habaneros and hot peppers in chocolate is something that has only popped up in, the last few years. You see it in stores and such.
Yeah.
Where in the world did that come from?
I don't know, to be honest with you. you guys know where the trend started?
Everybody just guess got bored with the savory, you know, sweet stuff and started experimenting with some savory, and he's adapted to that.
Because, I mean, I think, okay, yeah, chocolate and maybe some fruits or things like that.
Yeah.
Bacon?
Yeah.
Hot peppers?
Yeah.
What does this do to your world?
There's a couple of restaurants here in town as well, like some Asian restaurants that have opened up that have had me make some chocolate for them. I've put basil, lemongrass, and things like that. You try to match, you know, with your clientele as well.
That's got to be really challenging. It's a juggling act, isn't it?
No, it's fun. It's fun.
It's all right. Yeah. I mean, because I could imagine, you know, if suddenly basil gets thrown in or lemongrass gets thrown in, all of a sudden.
I think it's more the challenge to see if you can make it work.
That's part of the fun?
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about desserts. Hey, come on, you know we're talking about desserts. And we're wondering for you, what's the go-to spot? When you want a really great dessert or something really sweet to cap off a great evening, Where do you go? What do you make of the dessert scene in Las Vegas? Talk to us. Join our conversation at 702-258-3552, 702-258-3552, or visit us at knprnews.org. And we're on Twitter as well. If you can get some dessert thoughts into 140 characters or less, we're here at KNPR News. And that's at KNPR News. For all of you, how important are really good ingredients? Does higher quality flour yield a higher quality cupcake or higher quality pastry? Max Jacobs?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a saying, garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you're not putting in quality ingredients, you're not going to get a quality product. So it starts with, you know, your flours and sugars and butter and cream. But like...
As Jared's saying.
Yeah. As Jared was saying, you know, we get our strawberries from a family that provides strawberries for the farmers markets, and they come and they deliver us about 20 pallets a week. And so we're just trying to make sure that, you know, the highest quality quality ingredients go into our product. And it does makes a huge difference.
Do you have to be fussy?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you taste things and you say, no, this is not good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, because especially with the ingredients, things like flour, I mean, if it's not the right flour, it's going to, as we talked about before, it's going to ruin your recipe. It's going to ruin your product. Mm-hmm.
So, Jared, Ben, how do you know if you've got the right flour? Other than just you make some things and if they don't turn out, something's wrong.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, that comes into it. I mean, we do a lot of also scratch breads. So, you know, there are the many things of ingredients and flours and the different types of flours you have to do for different types of recipes. So most people think there's only a few types, you know, that you would see in the grocery store. But in the reality, you know, behind the scene where we all are, there's countless amounts of flours and the different gluten tech, how much gluten's in the flour, how much leavening, you know, it's just a balance of whatever's in your recipe. As we were going back to recipes earlier also about, you know, temperatures, how that can affect your products and being a science. Right now it's hotter time of the year, so when we do all our breads, our yeast activates a lot quicker, and so it can't be out as long. So we have to shuffleboard it in and out of coolers to keep everything done with our products. But guests these days are so well educated by what's on TV and everything that they know quality. They know what product is. They know that they're willing to pay the higher price point for better product, better quality that they can't normally get. So they don't have a problem spending a lot more money on cakes or customized desserts just for the fact they know they're getting the best quality available that they can't randomly get at your local, I'm sorry, grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. We're talking about the dessert scene in Las Vegas, and joining us now is Robin. Robin, thanks for calling and welcome.
You're welcome. The best place, in my opinion, for desserts is the Sugar Factory on the Strip at the Paris Hotel. You can see the dancing water fountains across the street, but also, and most importantly, they're open late, late night. So after a great night out on the town with guests, finishing off with huge servings of desserts at the Sugar Factory is just perfect for me.
So Sugar Factory is your go-to place?
It is, especially with guests and out of town.
Yeah. What do you really crave there when you're there?
Well, they don't only have desserts on, you know, Sundays and cupcakes and all kinds of cakes. They also have dessert drinks. So they have big bowls of, you know, gummy bear alcoholic drinks as well. So a dessert drink is what I crave there.
Yeah. All right, Robin, thank you very much for calling us. 702-258-3552 is our number. Gents, where do you go? Max Jacobson Fried, I mean, if you're going to somebody else's shop, just for the heck of it, because you know they got good desserts and such, where are you likely to go?
You know, I'm actually, I'm a sucker for ice cream. For me, anytime I'm craving sweets, I just look for the place where they've got like the most cream and sugar and something. So I'm just going to, I'm looking for specialty ice creams. I'm looking for, we don't get a chance at our bakery to plate desserts. So I love going to, I mean, any restaurant and trying, you know, what they've got going on, something unique, like what we're talking about with his chocolates, looking for some of those lemongrass and basil. And, you know, like I said, I love the sweet and savory. So ice creams and some of those unique flavors. And it doesn't matter where
I'm going. Have you found a favorite spot?
Oh gosh, that's a really good question. I don't know that I could name my favorite spot right now.
Yeah, Zeta Malari. How about you? Is there another go-to spot you'd like to go to for fun?
Oh yeah, I'm as well. I'm a sucker for ice cream. I think it's the nostalgia of it, just growing up and going to Thrifty. They don't even have Thrifties anymore. But going to Thrifties, getting some ice cream and reading magazines there. But there's an ice cream and cookie shop over off of Fort Apache and like Tropicana. I'm a sucker for ice cream cookie sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that's where I go.
I think they're in our auction as well, as it turns out. So yeah, it's a great option. Jared Bin, what about you? Where do you like to go when you're not staying at Red Rock?
I'm boring. I like having soft serve with my kids. I mean, quite honestly, that's just one of those things where you could put a little toppings on top and enjoy it with the kids. But I think I like, you know, honestly, I think the shop that does it really well outside of my place, of course, would be probably Aria, Jean-Philippe Patisserie. I think what they always do there is top notch, and, you know, kind of the which it's a good focal point of where the direction's going, of what's kind of in and what people are going for, because he has two shops at two properties, so it allows to get a bigger spectrum of people coming by and connoisseurs, like you were talking about, mm-hmm. that massive chocolate fountain in the beginning. That's, you know, the one at the Bellagio.
Mm-hmm. And Jared, you've said that dessert is the most important part of the meal. And I would assume, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, you may be slightly prejudiced in that.
A little bit.
But why do you say that?
It's okay.
What makes it the most important part of the meal?
It's, you know, I think it's one of those underappreciated items at the end of the meal. It's also going to be that last impression that you have on that restaurant. If you have something that's terrible, you're going to remember that when you leave that restaurant. It's your lasting experience. It's that last thing that touches your mouth before you leave, unless it's a cocktail, of course. But, you know, I think it's honestly, I don't think it's given enough opportunity. I don't think, you know, a lot of times when you go to restaurants, you go heavy on the apps, heavy on the entrees, and you know, when it comes time for dessert, it's pretty much, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm ready to move on. But I think it's one of those lasting impressions. If you have something that's really good, and that's me, if I'll go somewhere and it just, you know, a shot in left field and it comes out and it's really good, then I'm probably going to go back just because that's what I remember last about that restaurant.
Hmm. So you guys, you're all ice cream lovers.
I love ice cream.
Does anyone not like ice cream? Is that a thing?
That's a good point. I know
it's boring, but man, vanilla ice cream is good.
I have nothing boring about it, man. I'm with you right there. Jared Bin is the executive pastry chef at Red Rock Resort. Zenon Malari is chocolatier with Happy Endings. And Max Jacobson-Fried is owner of Fried's Bakery. Thank you all so much.